Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero Podcast, the show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Friday, December 19th. It is the first time since 2016 where there has been no division winners locked up. Yeah, kind of crazy. And we're still, even with this Thursday night game with the Rams and the Seahawks, I think the Rams virtually lock up the division if they win tonight, but I don't know if they're going to win tonight. I guess stay tuned for the blind Thursday night football recap. We do have a good week of football, though. Again, it's nut cutting time. I was trying to look for a better expression there, but I guess nut cutting time works. Yeah, there's a few fairly key matchups this week. I mean, we have the big Thursday night football game. We have Packers-Bears on Saturday night. Jags-Broncos is going to be a good game. Lions-Steelers is important. Patriots-Ravens Sunday night football. And another start from Phillip Rivers. And Quinn Ewers also making his NFL debut. Well, he's already played, but his starting debut anyways. Either way, things we're excited about, I guess. Sort of, kind of. Again, NFL playoffs are almost here. It is chaotic. No one really knows their matchups yet. No one's running away with anything. It's been a great NFL year. This episode, a little bit of NFL weekly update. I have a lot to talk about while also, like, nothing really, really important. Blind Thursday Night Football recap. And then into the Week 16 preview. Let's just start off with this NFL weekly update. Jets center Josh Meyer signs a 2-year, $11 million deal. Yep, this is what I'm starting out with. This is, yeah, I don't have a lot to talk about. Josh Myers, solid. I think former day two pick from the Packers who got, like, he's fine. 2-year, $11 million, good for you. Again, we don't have a ton to talk about. This one maybe should have let off the show, but Steve Wilks, former Jets defensive coordinator, fired just 16 games into his Jets tenure. Steve Wilks, where do you know Steve Wilks from? And I think the question is almost everywhere as of late. He's the Jets defensive coordinator this year. He was the 49ers defensive coordinator in 23, the Panthers interim head coach in 22, and their defensive coordinator. He was the Browns DC in 2019, the Cardinals head coach in 2018, back with the Panthers. He's been doing a lot. And he's had a nice, long NFL, college, just coaching career in general. But I think the game has passed Steve Wilks by, and yeah, his services are no longer needed. And people were pointing to, oh, well, you know, you traded away Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. Like, it's not his fault. Again, his defenses, I think I said this on Wednesday, his defenses were bad before that. It is what it is. Let's just keep going here. The Giants cut kicker Younghoe Koo. That's it for Younghoe Koo. He is just flat out bad at this point. That guy from the Falcons a few years ago who was a lot of fun, that guy's not there anymore. Fun story, good kicker for a bit, but I think that's just kind of it for his NFL hopes. I think the Giants are now on their fourth kicker this season, which is absolutely crazy. The Dolphins release Matt Judon. Again, former Pro Bowler a long, long time ago. There's a reason I had the Younghoe Koo getting cut before Matt Judon. Because Matt Judon, he's played football this year, but he's putting up like a Tony Snell type stat line, 0-0-0-0. Maybe someone wants him, I don't know. The Jets cut Alan Lazard. Steelers might need another receiver, another old vet to add to that team. He is one of Aaron Rodgers' buddies, but again, sure. Okay, now we're getting into some of the more fun news. That was just kind of like the re-signings, extensions, firings, guys getting cut. Like, now we're into the fun stuff. The Chicago Bears might move to Indiana. And That might freak people out to be like, why would the Chicago Bears move? They're in fucking Chicago. And not being a big U.S. geography nerd, I was looking up and be like, ah, like how far would that move? Chicago is basically on the corner of like the Illinois, and then Indiana starts right here. So the stadium would just be in like Gary, Indiana, which is just basically like outside of Chicago. Virtually is Chicago, but it's not. And immediately things go back to the Bears and their ownership and being like, fuck them for moving the stadium out of Chicago. How dare they? It's been there for over 100 years. Not the Bears' fault. Not the Bears' ownership's fault for the first time in what feels like forever, because that ownership group is a disaster. But it's the state of Illinois' fault, somehow, where the Bears were going to fully pay for the stadium and the infrastructure that comes with that stadium, but the state wanted them to also pay for like the roads and everything like leading up to that, not just the stadium being built. And the Bears were like, well, we don't really want to do that. And then Indiana was like, you can do whatever the hell you want. We'll build everything for you other than the stadium. And now the Bears are like, okay. And apparently, like, it's not a priority for the state of Illinois, which, again, keeping a professional sports team in your state, I think that's important. I'm just saying, I think that that would be fairly important for that to have and for Chicago to lose. Again, a team that's been in the city for over 100 years, and yes, Gary, Indiana is like a 45, 30-minute drive down the road, I think. I have no idea. That's just me speculating. But I don't know. I would want better from everyone, and the Bears shouldn't have to move their team to Indiana to facilitate that, but regardless. Next note here. So Puka Nacua, he had a pretty fun week. Started out with him, you know, having that monster, what was that game? Sunday Night Football game, giving me a little bit of hope in fantasy, and then then he goes on a stream with Aiden Ross, who, not a nice guy, pretty big piece of shit, does some, again, only things Aiden Ross would do, but not great, not great at all. And then his brother Samson stole a Lakers rookie's SUV. Quite an ordeal for Puka this week. Had to deal with the backlash of, again, being on a stream with Aiden Ross, and for good reason, there should be backlash. And then his brother steals a car from a Lakers rookie. Not even like, oh, his brother just stole a car. It was like, from someone fairly notable. I don't know the guy's name, so maybe not that notable, but either way, he plays for the fucking Lakers. Puka's had a week. They have Thursday Night Football. Should be interesting. I think that's all I really need to say about that. I don't have a ton of other... Oh, Puka, that was on the stream. He said that refs definitely call things for attention. And then, you know, like, they go and they text their group chats of being like, oh, yeah, hey, man, did you see that call? I didn't think it was a PI, but I just wanted to, like, haha. One, 60-year-old men do not have group chats, Puka. And again, I didn't fucking watch this. Could have been everything in a joke. Again, everything out of context is taken quite literally, and that's a bad thing. So it could have been a joke. But either way, it's a bad joke, because thinking that 50, 60-year-old men are sitting in group chats tee-heeing about them having their moment on TV, that is absolutely not a thing that is happening in this world. Anywhere. Okay, I think that's it on Puka. We'll talk about him more in the blind Thursday Night Football recap, I guess. Mike Vrabel says there's been talks about having an NBA-style countdown clock once quarters hit, like, the final minute. So what I mean by that, it's not like, oh, they're putting, like, a shot clock on. Well, they already fucking have a shot clock. It's 40, whatever. What I'm saying is, so the final minute of quarters, instead of just counting down, like, and it'll just be, like, 59 seconds, 58 seconds, it could stop, and it could be 57.65 seconds. Like, it'll add the milliseconds to that, which I think that is good. I think late in games, time is very, very crucial, and yeah, all the milliseconds count. So I'm all for that. I think that would be a cool thing for the NFL to do. We'll see if they end up doing it. Something I missed during Wednesday's show, but Kenny Pickett sets a new NFL record. He had the fewest passing yards in a game, having completed at least 15 passes. He threw for 64 yards in the game. I think I was just so, like, again, the Raiders scored 0 points. They're terrible. But, like, 64 yards in a game on 15 attempts. Again, with Tua being benched and everything, I called him, like, a bottom 10 starter in the league. And someone told me, it's like, oh, that's being extremely generous. I wouldn't call Tua a top 40 quarterback in the league. And out of curiosity, because I don't disagree with that, I was like, name your 40 quarterbacks. And long list, whatever, and... yeah, eventually, with help, he got the 40 names, and I, unfortunately for me, agree with those 40 names. But one name I didn't is Kenny Pickett. Don't you damn tell me that Kenny Pickett is ever going to be a better quarterback than Tua. Kenny Pickett has been terrible the moment he stepped onto the NFL field. Tua has played well in this league. Kenny Pickett has never played well in this league, even though Kenny Pickett is a Super Bowl champion. Anyways, that's the fun new Kenny Pickett NFL record. Shedeur Sanders is top 10 in Pro Bowl votes for the quarterback position. Yes, he is a top 10 vote getter amongst quarterbacks for the Pro Bowl right now. This is why the Pro Bowl is a joke and doesn't really matter anymore. I would love for Shedeur, because again, I think this was like 4 days ago, but he was 10th. I feel like he's probably top 8 now, but I can't verify that. Former Raider Alabama star Henry Ruggs has graduated from Alabama with a 4.0 GPA. Who is Henry Ruggs? Some of you may not know. A superstar, so fast Alabama wide receiver, first round pick by the Raiders, and then had, I mean, to call it a mistake feels way too light, but he got drunk and killed someone in an accident, and he's now been in prison for the last 4 years, I believe. So the only reason I'm bringing Henry Ruggs up right now is because he is eligible for parole in 2026. I don't know when in 2026, but just prepping mentally for a guy drunk driving, killing, probably getting back into the league sometime next year at some point. Just brace yourselves for that, because I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Henry Ruggs before this had no character off-field concerns. Again, it just seems like a one-off terrible mistake. Again, he killed a person. But the NFL has cared far less, and if Henry Ruggs still has it athletically and still wants to play, I think that some team will definitely give him a shot. And again, there's been definitely murderers who have played in this league before. I mean, we literally know that murderers have played in this league before, so we can move on. Final note here, speaking of Alabama a little bit, but AJ McCarron is the new Birmingham Stallions head coach. Now, what the fuck does any of that mean? Who's AJ McCarron? What the hell are the Birmingham Stallions? I'll start off with the Birmingham Stallions, because that's easier to explain. UFL team in Birmingham, Alabama. Simple. Who is AJ McCarron? AJ McCarron had a near 10-year NFL career. Was the Bengals backup for a while. But more importantly, he was the three-time national champion at Alabama between 2009 and 2013. I think that my years sound right there. That's like when that was the start of Nick Saban, was AJ McCarron. And before AJ McCarron, before Nick Saban was getting these like high star recruits to be his quarterbacks, he was doing it with guys like AJ McCarron, who were like, yeah, really good college QBs who ended up being like middling quarterback NFL players. Again, AJ McCarron played for a while in the league. But yeah, AJ McCarron back in Alabama, now the head coach. Also crazy, because I was looking up, I'm like, okay, like, what's AJ McCarron been doing? He was in the XFL 2 years ago and was their MVP, passing leader, completion percentage. Like, so he was like still like playing good football 2 years ago, and now he's the head coach of one of these teams that he would have been playing against 2 years ago. I think that's kind of cool. Shout out to AJ McCarron. Let's get into this blind Thursday night football recap, though. Rams at Seattle. This is going to be a tough game. the Rams going into this one already kind of up against it. Their plane was late leaving. Puka's dealing with all the off-field craziness right now. And they're going to Seattle. They're going to the home of the 12th man, going against this defense, playing in the rain. And it was a slugfest. This was back to, like, grind it tough early 2000s football. Seeing what this Ravens run game could do versus this Seattle front. It was a lot of fun. But the Rams still went out. Unfortunately, I just think the Rams are purely the better team. Sam Darnold does not do well against the Rams, and it just continues. JSN being his only real target, having it be a rainy game, it was sloppy. It was bad for everyone out there. No Davante Adams for the Rams, too. This was a run-first game, and the Rams just happened to come out on top. I am wearing my Seahawks shirt, but maybe it was just a... Damn, well, what's the word? Confuse you? It's illusion? I don't know. Whatever. I think the Rams are going to win. I think this is going to be a sloppy game, though. But I think that the run game between Kyren Williams and Blake Corum will be able to get enough done anyways. So, final score in this one, Rams 20, Seahawks 13. And that is your blind Thursday Night Football recap. Let's get into the rest of the week here. Starting off with two Saturday games. That's nice. Eagles at Commanders. Eagles 7. Total set at 44.5. Yeah. This is one of the games, again, we're going to talk about a lot of these games, where some of these games mean nothing, or they mean maybe draft position or some kind of playoff race. This game means absolutely nothing. The Eagles win this one, they win the division, that's it, they're done. The Eagles need to lose out to lose the division, so I don't think that's happening anyways. The Commanders are not a good football team. I don't know if that comes as a shock. I feel like I've been saying this for months now, and I definitely have been saying this for months, but yeah, the Commanders are not a good football team. The Eagles are a better football team, and they should be a really good football team, but they just might be a good football team. Their defense is awesome. I don't know. It's just, I feel like I have nothing to really talk about in this one. Like, it's Marcus Mariota playing. It's not like, oh, Jaden Daniels, what's he gonna do? It's, again, I'd like to see Jalen Hurts play better. I'd like to see another good performance from the offense. Maybe let's just start with that. The Commanders' defense is terrible. They should be able to move the ball relatively easily. So maybe let's just hope for, like, again, the Eagles' defense is going to do what it does. And yeah, if the Eagles could score another 25-plus points, I think that's a good goal for the team. How about that, Eagles? The other Saturday game here, Packers at Bears. Bears minus 1.5, total set of 46.5. How the perception on this game has changed with now Micah Parsons being out. This would have been a game for, and again, it still is a game for the division, but now it looks like this might be a game for the Packers' playoff hopes. And again, they're sitting pretty at what, 9 wins right now, and like, oh, them being 9-5 and still have, who do they have their next two games after this? Ravens and Vikings, no cakewalks in those ones either. But the Lions are right on the tail. I think the Packers have the tiebreakers over them, but the Lions win versus Steelers, the Packers lose, they're now tied in record, and now it would just take one more win for the Lions to obviously pass them. A lot to play for. And obviously this is for the division, I think, at the end of the day. I think it's definitely, well, it's technically not for the division yet because there's still two more games left and blah, 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 but it's for the division. Like, let's just be real. But the injuries. No Micah Parsons for the Packers, and that's obviously huge. And no Romo Dunze and Luther Burden for the Bears. That's obviously not as big of a loss as the Packers, but losing your number 1 and 3 wide receiver, it's not great. It's not great. This isn't going to be a pretty game. Jeff Hafley has been getting a lot of talk about being a future head coach in this league and being the Packers defensive coordinator. And yeah, he's had a very good defense this year, but I want to see how much of that was just a byproduct of Micah Parsons being there. Because I think it has a lot to do with that. I don't think this Packers defense is necessarily very strong. I think last year it flourished just based off getting a million interceptions, and that's great. But again, we always regress to the mean. The Packers aren't getting a million interceptions this year, and now they don't have Micah Parsons to wreak havoc on the quarterbacks. I think the Bears are going to win this one. And I think the Bears, again, it's tough now because now no Romo Dunze, no Luther Burden. The passing attack will suffer a little bit, but I have faith in DJ Moore and Colson Loveland and Cole Kmet. And the Bears' run game has just been really good as well. And the Packers on the other side, Christian Watson is out. Again, the Packers' offense, while being super explosive, is just, I don't know. I don't enjoy watching it because it's rather they hit a big play or they just stink. But as long as you're hitting enough big plays, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I find it hard watching football like that, where like you need a 40-yard play each drive to like really get things going. I think that's not sustainable and crazy, but the Packers have kind of been playing this level of football now for a few years. So I don't know. I like the Bears in this one. There's a reason why Vegas likes the Bears as well. This is really, really important for playoffs, obviously, but I think the Bears, I mean, if the Rams lose tonight, and which they didn't because I already told you that, but then if the Bears win, then I think they're the one seed in the NFC, and then that's a whole other can of worms there. Either way, this should be a good game, but it's not as good as it would have been like a couple weeks ago, unfortunately, but still a very, very good game, and a game that honestly, I think the Bears need to win. As much as I'm saying the Packers need to win this one, because I literally think the Packers do need to win this one, for all intents and purposes, for going forward, for morale, for just like how people view them, if the Bears don't beat this banged up but still good Packers team, I don't think that fans will have a lot of hope going into the playoffs, but we can move on here into the Sunday games. Bills at Browns. Bills minus 10.5. Total set at 41.5. Yeah, this makes a ton of sense. I'm very interested to see, one, if Myles Garrett breaks the sack record. I think Myles Garrett breaking the sack record on Josh Allen would be very cool, just because, again, just Josh Allen is a really good quarterback and hard to bring down in general and blah, blah, blah. Other than that, yeah, the Bills should win this one rather easy. Again, it's all going to depend on James Cook and Josh Allen running the football and the Bills defense being able to stop a run game, maybe, for once. I'm not worried that the Bills aren't going to win this game, but this also does feel like a game where, again, the Bills do this, and they didn't do it the last couple seasons, but they have done it again this season where, like, you know, oh, Josh Allen's playing some of the best football, like, of his career right now, playing at an MVP level again. Watch out. And then they play the Browns, and again, they're really good defense, and James Cook can't get going in the run game enough, and again, their passing attack just isn't very good in general, where, I don't know, a couple big plays from Isaiah Bond or Harold Fannin or Quinshon Judkins breaks off a run against this, again, very bad Bills defense. I don't know. The Bills are going to win this one. That's all that really matters. But, like, maybe the Browns cover. 10.5 points is a lot of points. I don't know. Next game up here. Chargers at Cowboys. Cowboys minus 2.5. Total set at 49.5. Damn, for a team that's 10-4 and 5-0 in the AFC West, you think that they would be favorites against the 6-7-1 Cowboys. But no, maybe their team just isn't as good as people think, huh, Tom? With that being said, yes, the Chargers are, they have a culture now. And that's something the Chargers haven't had for, I mean, fuck, maybe ever. But the Chargers have a culture, and that is why they're winning games. They believe in each other. They believe in themselves. And Harbaugh, I mean, he has the most belief in anyone. He's a nut job in a, say that in like a positive way. But this team's just playing hard. They're grinding out wins, and you gotta give them credit a little bit. I just still don't think they're a good team. And this seems like, again, the Chargers might squeak out another win against the Dallas Cowboys, but that's kind of like all the Chargers have done this season, is just squeak out wins against like mediocre opponents. I don't know. Again, it is what it is. I do think this is going to be a good game. And again, the Chargers, you want to prove me wrong, go score a bunch of points on the Cowboys defense. Everyone else seemingly seems to do it. Cowboys, you're already out. Doesn't matter. But yeah, I would like to see Quinnen Williams and Donovan Ezeraku have like a good game against this shitty Chargers offensive line like everyone else does. It's one of those like... The Cowboys defense is bad enough where I think that Herbert will have enough time to obviously find his guys in the pass game, and I think the run game should get going enough. Again, it's the Cowboys defense. It's really bad. But on the other, like, it's... I need to see something, though. It can't be... You can't have a bad performance against the Cowboys defense. You just flat out can't. And this Chargers defense, that again, it has been playing really well, really sound, like, solid, good defense. Credit to Jesse Minter. He has these guys, like, find the star on that defense. Like, yeah, Derwin James is there. He's still a really good player, but Derwin James isn't the Derwin James from... like a couple seasons ago, even. Like, he's still like a really good player, but he's not, holy shit, he's Derwin James. Tuli Tuipulotu, 12 sacks on the season. He's having a great year, but I don't think anyone's like, oh, Tuli, one of the best edges in the league. Khalil Mack is old. Odafe Owa, again, playing solid. Deion Henley's playing solid. Again, a bunch of solid young dudes on this defense. But they got to go against Dak and CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and Jake Ferguson and Javonte Williams. Again, prove me. Prove me wrong. Prove me right. I don't care, but just I want to walk away from this game. I guess it all boils down to this. How about this? I finally figured out my thoughts after all of this. If the Cowboys win, I want the Cowboys to blow them out and just be like, yep, Chargers never had a chance, goodbye, like, you're still probably going to make the playoffs, but see you next year. Or I want the Chargers to absolutely kick the shit out of the Cowboys. I want this to be a blowout on either end. This game can't end with the Chargers winning by 3. It just can't. It can't end in a low-scoring game where the Chargers squeak out another win. Because then it's just, oh my god, they're 11-4. There might be the worst 11-4 team of all time. Probably not, but either way, we can move on. Excited for this game again, but show me something. Please show me something. Next game up here, Jets at Saints. Saints -5.5, total set at 40.5. Let me just get to Tankathon real quick so I can look at this draft order. It's currently the Jets pick at number 5, the Saints at number 4. So the Jets winning this would push them maybe to 9th or 8th or something. Either way, it would knock them down quite a bit. Saints, it would prop them up, but at the end of the day, the Saints being 5.5-point favorites against the Jets is quite telling because, oh, is Tyrod playing? This might change everything. If Tyrod's playing, I might take the Jets, even though the Jets' defense is... Ooh, no, it looks like... he's limited. He might play. What about Justin Fields? Justin Fields also limited. Brady Cook can't be playing. Just, I'm sorry, Brady Cook. I'm happy you had your one touchdown pass. You will cherish that memory forever. Can't be playing this weekend. And again, it's not like the Jets really want to win, or it's not like the Jets fans want them to win. The teams are always trying, obviously. This is a game that just flat out doesn't matter in any sense whatsoever. Okay, Tyler Shuck, go beat up on a bad Jets defense. Let's see what you can do. And everybody's like, oh my god, Tyler Shuck's really good, when he's just beating up on the Jets defense. And again, the Jets, maybe A.D. Mitchell's going to have another fun game. Like, that's the only person I can talk about, like, on either side of the ball, really. Like, because you can't really talk about offensive linemen, because as much as I want to sit here and be like, oh, Olufoshan is awesome, Armin Membu is awesome, it's a lot harder to do. Especially me not knowing the ins and outs of the craft of being an offensive lineman. offensive line play is really cool, but it's hard to talk about guys like Membu and Olufoshanu, but I guess I am. Shout out to the only people worth talking about on the Jets, the two offensive tackles, and A.D. Mitchell. I will throw in A.D. Mitchell there. He's a lot of fun, too. I don't know. The Saints, fucking, who cares? Who cares? I've, again, spent way too much time on this game. We'll keep going. Next game up. There we go. Back to an important matchup. Bucks at Panthers. Bucks minus 3. Total set at 45.5. The division is on the line here, but they still play each other again one more time, so the division will really be on the line then. But yeah, they're both tied right now. They're both, what the fuck are they, 7-7 right now. Absolutely awful. Okay. Let's try to have some thoughts here. The Bucks defense is really bad, and I think Todd Bowles has kind of given up, might not be the right word, but he just looks fed up. Because again, his comments from last Thursday of just being like, I can only do so much. They're not learning anything new. It's just about executing, and no one is executing on that defense because that defense is just old and or bad and slash injured. Lots of things happening. Going with the over in this one. How about that? What's the over? I think I said 44.5. 45.5. I still like the over. Because Mike Evans is going to have a Mike Evans game. Might not have a Mike Evans game. He's going against J.C. Horn. Either way, Baker in the passing attack, I would hope looks good. I would hope that the run game gets going against the Panthers defense too. Again, the Panthers defense isn't very good. It flashes at times, but overall, also not very good. The Panthers offense, again, it has flashed at times too, but it has been up and down and up and down, but it was a down week last week for the Panthers offense, so now they're on an upswing. So yeah, maybe this is going to be the Bryce and Ted and Coker and Xavier Leggett all doing their thing with a good run game again. I like the Panthers in this one. I like the Panthers plus 3. I like the over. I just think the Bucks are just such a defeated, deflated franchise right now where the guys on the Panthers haven't really experienced, I mean, even being in the hunt or being in the playoff, like let alone like winning the division. The guys on this Panthers team have never been a part of something like that. I mean, obviously they have guys coming in from other teams, but like the young guys on this team, this is their first time fighting for anything meaningful in their careers. And yeah, I think that the Panthers are going to be playing a lot harder. I think that, again, I think Todd Bowles has checked out a little bit. Dave Canales going against his former team. I think he kind of knows what Todd Bowles likes to do and will be able to pick it apart to some extent. I like the Panthers. I do like the Panthers. Next game up here, Vikings at Giants. Vikings minus 3, total set at 43.5. So the Vikings currently sitting with the number 1 overall pick. The Vikings at number 13. So obviously this game means a lot more for the Giants than it does for the Vikings. What would I like to see out of this game? I would like to see Abdul Carter continue to do his thing. Maybe keep pushing late for the Rookie of the Year race. Again, plus 5,000 odds for a race that it should be Carson Schwechinger, but he's a linebacker that plays for the Browns. Like, notoriety won't get there, especially if Carter has a few like really good games late down the stretch. I don't know. What else can I talk about? Jackson Dart, maybe don't go into concussion protocol this game. That would be like a huge plus if you don't have to go to the medical tent for like the first time in your NFL career. That would be cool. What else is there in this game? Maybe 9 can have like 3 pretty good starts. That would be, again, that would be tremendous progress from where he started this season if he can have like 3 pretty good games back to back to back to back. I would like to see 1 good game from Justin Jefferson before this season ends too. Other than that, not a ton to add. So let's just keep going. Next game up here, Chiefs at Titans, Chiefs minus 3, total set at 37.5. Man, this is a bad game. And yeah, I still think the Chiefs are going to win because the Titans are like a terrible team where, again, even without Mahomes, I don't think that the Chiefs were inherently a bad football team despite what their record says. That's what annoys me. Again, this is just going and off with group chats and stuff that are happening, but like, I can sit here and be like, the Chiefs don't have a bad roster, but the Chiefs have a bad roster for someone who wants to contend. I feel like that's fair, but anyways, yeah, like, I don't know what either team is going to do, like, at all to move the ball. Like, the run game, again, this offensive line is terribly hurt right now for the Chiefs, and their running backs are already bad. So putting Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat in there, don't think the run game is going to do much. Gardner Minshew, not a good quarterback, but he just needs to get the ball in Rashee Rice's hands or someone's hands anyways, but the Chiefs defense is good enough to stop Cam Ward and no one. The Chiefs should still win this game. I'm hoping that this line comes down a little bit. Sorry. And when I say the line comes down, I mean I hope that it gets to like Chiefs 2.5 or something. Whereas has the line shifted? I might be able to get 2.5. Actually, no, it's been at 3.5, and now it's at 3. So maybe I get 2.5. I doubt it, though. Either way, I think the Chiefs are going to win this one. I think the Chiefs are going to win this one easily because, again, they are a championship-level coach team and all of these things that people have been telling me that the Chiefs are. And, they should win this game regardless. Will they? I guess we'll see. The Titans definitely don't want to win this game because, again, let's go back to Tankathon. That would put them tied for first. Right now they pick third, and then that would just put them in the mess of, again, they could be picking fifth or sixth overall or whatever. Either way, not great. Here's a fun matchup. Here's a great matchup. Bengals at Dolphins. Bengals -4. Total set at 47.5. The Dolphins are currently at day one of the rebuild. Quinn Ewers is officially the starter going forward. Tua is now QB3 on the depth chart. Zach Wilson will remain the backup, I guess. Yeah. It's a position I've been in many times before. It's not fun, but I'm used to it, I guess. I'm numb for finding another quarterback, going through another rebuild. It is what it is. And yeah, I'm excited to see what Quinn Ewers can do, sure. But this is more about, okay, Mike McDaniel, it is your team. It's always been his team, but it's been his team catered around Tua. I want to see what Mike McDaniel does with an offense that he wants to do in an NFL, that he can drop in a bunch of different quarterbacks and they can run his system effectively. Because doing that, running the system that Tua did, Tua was the only one who could seemingly run that system at a high-ish level anyways. But again, this is about Devon Achane, and that's about it. And Quinn Ewers versus the Bengals defense should be pretty good, but this might be an all-time, like, bad vibes matchup right now. And, like, not even, like, oh, bad teams, like, oh, these teams are so terrible, like, there's fun players on both sides. Like, again, Joe Burrow throwing to Ja'Marr Chase. Miami has Devon Achane and Darren Waller and Jaden Waddle. I can't believe I said Darren Waller before Jaden Waddle. Jalen Waddle. Either way, there's, like, fun things on both sides. That was all I was trying to say there. But between, again, Miami's been the bad vibes team all year just with everything. And now just, again, Joe Burrow making more comments. Someone asked him to be like, do you think you'll be starting QB of this team next year? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. And then follow-up question was like, oh, have you thought of being a starting quarterback elsewhere in your career? And he's like, I've thought of a lot of things. Joe Burrow is clearly knows he's going to be in Cincinnati for the future, but knows that he's not going to be winning any time in Cincinnati in the future. And that must kill him. It's now been 3 years since they've made the playoffs. I think that sounds right. Again, that Super Bowl run that they had in 2021 was a lot of fun. But bad ownership sucks. And like you should not be able to have a quarterback at Joe Burrow's level with guys like Ja'Marr Chase and just fumble fuck it so bad. Pardon my language, I guess, but all-time bad vibes matchup in this one. I don't think either team really wants to win this game, but again, interested to see how Quinn Ewers does. Interested to see how he does against a bad Bengals defense and how, again, we have Achane, we have Waller, we have Jalen Waddle. We have guys who should be able to get open versus this defense quite easily. And on the other side, how badly is Ja'Marr Chase going to cook us? And the answer is probably quite a lot. This might be a heavy, heavy bet Ja'Marr Chase doing whatever type game. Because the Dolphins secondary is really, really bad. And I think that despite Joe Burrow being in a bad mood, I think that Joe Burrow is still Joe Burrow at the end of the day and might just come in and play pissed off and kick the absolute shit out of us. I guess we'll find out. Into the early afternoon games here. Jags at Broncos. Broncos -3. Total set at 46.5. A potential playoff matchup at some point down the road. I'm very interested to see how this goes. Because, again, I have no strong leans either way. The Broncos defense is an absolute unit. Top to bottom. No weak spots anywhere. Again, leading the league in sacks, going for the all-time record as well. And the Jags offensive line has been better, but it's not great. I can tell you that. And the Jags offense has been humming. It's been looking good, but they have not faced a defense as good as the Broncos in their stretch. Let me just look at who the Titans have. I take that back. They played the Texans, but that was also the Texans game where they gave up like 24 points in the fourth quarter. And they came back. So they were playing really well up until that point. Yeah, 26 points in the fourth quarter. I think I still give the... either way. Like, since their bye week, they've been really good. But again, the best defense that they've played is that Texans one where they went on to score 24 points and 26 points in the fourth. And the Chargers and the Colts and... either way. It's a very good test for them. And it's a good test on both sides because this Jags defense is no slouch too. They are very good against the run, and the Broncos don't have a running game at the moment. RJ Harvey is just not good. He hasn't even like flashed really. There hasn't even been like a few like, oh, what a like moment. It's been very, very pedestrian, and it has hurt the Broncos quite a bit in my opinion. I don't know. I'm interested because the Broncos also haven't been playing like a onslaught of opponents either. Who have the Broncos played recently? They just beat the Packers. What am I saying? But like, yeah, no, I still agree that they haven't really played a ton of people really, and this is a good test for them. Again, two playoff teams, two teams that might face match up at some point anyways. I have no idea who's going to win this. I literally don't. I think the Jags obviously have the better offense. The Broncos obviously have the better defense. And I think the Jags might have a better offense than the Broncos, or a better defense than the Broncos have offense. But the Broncos are at home and Mile High, and there's the altitude issue. And I just know this is going to be a fun game. Broncos and Jags, potential playoff matchup. Who would have thought at the start of the year? Falcons at Cardinals. Falcons -3, total set of 48.5. This is another matchup where, again, absolutely means nothing. Again, drafting-wise, if the Cardinals were to win this, they would fall to like somewhere in the picks 7-9, I think, and still be ahead of the Falcons. If the Falcons would win this, they don't even have their own first round pick anyway, so who cares? The Falcons obviously want to win this. What was I saying though? Oh yeah. I actually think this is kind of a fun matchup. I think Drake London should be back, so we get to see Kirk Cousins throwing the ball with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan, and again, just see how that offense works against the Cardinals, who are absolutely terrible, and I would like to see Kirk cook a little bit anyways, and we will see. And on the other end of it, can Jacoby Brissett for the, I don't know, eighth straight game put up like really good numbers in fantasy? I'm hoping this week because I am one of the few people who might be starting Jacoby Brissett over Dak Prescott in these playoffs. I know. Crazy. It is crazy.
starting Jacoby Brissett over Dak Prescott. Jacoby Brissett, who wasn't even a starter to start the year, but he's playing really good football. And the Falcons, or the Cardinals, are constantly playing from behind, so he needs to throw the football a fuck ton. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is back too, and I don't know if that helps the offense or hurts the offense. Michael Carter, I think, is their fifth string running back, is starting for them, so that's fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think this could be definitely be an over game. It just depends on what version of the Falcons defense shows up. But the Falcons can obviously score a lot of points. The Cardinals can obviously score a lot of points. It's just whether or not either of those versions of these teams want to show up. Raiders at Texans. Texans minus 14. Total set at 38.5. I tried to look up before doing this to be like, okay, who was the last team in NFL history to lose, to score 0 points in back-to-back games? Couldn't find out who that was. I think the Raiders have a pretty decent chance to do it. Couldn't move the ball at all against the Eagles last week. Now they get the Texans defense. And yes, Geno Smith is back, and that is a major upgrade over Kenny Pickett. I don't think it really matters. Again, I think the Raiders should obviously score like a field goal or something, but yeah, the Texans are going to kill them. And this, again, I want this Texans offense humming. I want them to score points. I want them to get into the groove of, again, just being a good, consistent offense going into the playoffs, and just let your defense just be a meat grinder and just wear down teams and just beat them up. And you guys just go out there and do your job. However, I want to see the Texans offense score at least 25, 30 points in this one. I want the Raiders to just get absolutely embarrassed, and the Raiders are absolutely going to get embarrassed in this one. So we'll keep going. Final afternoon game here. Steelers at Lions. Lions minus 7. Total set of 51.5. Yeah, the Lions need to win this one to kind of stay alive in the playoff picture. Again, currently at 9 wins on the year. Nope, 8 wins on the year. Never mind. But 8 wins is still not good enough to be in the wild card in the NFC, because that's just how good the NFC is. Yeah, I don't know. The Lions need to win this one. The Steelers need to keep winning this one to stay atop of their division. We'll talk to the Ravens because they have an important game too. Should be good. I obviously think the Lions are going to win. I still, at the end of the day, I don't think that the Steelers are a very good team. I don't think anyone should think that the Steelers are a very good team, or what their offense has been doing over the last few weeks has been like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he might be back. No, Aaron Rodgers is still a very bad quarterback. Sorry, I take that back. He's not a very bad quarterback. He's just a very old quarterback who doesn't play very good football anymore. How about that? It's just, yeah. The Lions are better. The Lions defense absolutely sucks, but like, again, I don't think that the Steelers offense is really lighting people up other than really bad defenses. So maybe I take that back. Either way, the Lions are going to score a million points and it's fine. So Lions are going to win this one easy. Sunday night football now. Patriots at Ravens. Ravens minus 3. Total set of 48.5. Another very, very, very important playoff matchup here. The Ravens looking to just, again, stay alive, keep their division hopes alive. I think if they win this one, I think the Steelers are still atop the AFC North, but they have another game against each other in week 18. Yeah, which that'll obviously be very, very important. I'm interested to see how the Patriots bounce back after kind of like getting their shit kicked in the second half. Because again, knowing Mike Vrabel and his staff, that's something that's not tolerated in a game that they absolutely should have won last week. So yeah, I think the Patriots are going to kind of come out with their hair on fire. The only chance that the Patriots have of winning is they need to slow down Derrick Henry. They need to slow down the running game. And it's not Lamar, it's just Derrick Henry. Slow down that run game. Again, the run game hasn't been pretty. They should be able to slow down every other part of that offense. But slowing down Derrick Henry in late December has been proven to be a very, 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 very tough task over the course of his entire career. So Godspeed, Patriots. I still think that they're going to win this one. I think that they're the better team. Again, getting not embarrassed last week because it was still like a really close game against like a good Bills team, but maybe embarrassed is the word that I should. Either way, giving up that big of a lead in the second half at home shouldn't happen, but it did happen. And I expect the Patriots to come out, play better. Not a very good Ravens defense. It is playing better as of late, but it's just not very good in general. And finally, Monday Night Football, 49ers at Colts. Niners minus 6, total set at 46.5. Yeah, Philip Rivers is starting another football game. That's a lot of fun. And thankfully for Philip Rivers, he's not going against the Seattle Seahawks. So he is not in fear of necessarily dying this game, but maybe just being like maimed beyond all reason. I'm joking, obviously, but Philip Rivers, again, he held up in his first game. I'm sure he's just getting over from being sore from that game, but like, again, apparently he's good to roll for Monday Night Football. It's good that he has that extra day of rest. I'm excited to watch Philip Rivers in primetime. Are they going to win this game? Absolutely not. But I'm excited to watch Philip Rivers in primetime. I'm excited to see what the Niners can do against the Colts defense. Again, the Colts need to win this one to like stay alive in the playoff race, but I just think that it's too far gone for them at this point. The Niners, if they win this and the Rams lose, I think they're first in the NFC West, and then they have games against the Seahawks to close out the season to finish that division. Either way, season's almost wrapping up, and we still don't know anything about seeding. It's been a really fun year. Again, I don't know who's going to win at all, which, again, seems like the first time in forever, but I'm enjoying that. Yeah, that's the episode, I guess. Next week, we'll still have the episode come out on the 23rd. Now, for an episode coming out on Boxing Day, I'm not really sure. I might pre-record things on Monday, do a quick little happy Merry Christmas episode. I will be recording from Art's Place in Montreal. That'll be fun as well. But yeah, I'll still try for two episodes next week, but it might be a little bit of a different format. I think you'll still get your full recap episode on Wednesday, but then Friday's episode is probably just going to be me giving like quick bullet points about these games just so I can have something out there. Maybe I'll talk about my prospects too. That seems like an easy filler. I won't do an NFL weekly update just because like it would literally be information that just happened from the games, and I can talk about most of that stuff on Wednesday. So a little bit different next week, but again, happy holidays, everybody. And as always, if you have liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell your friends, all that fun stuff. And until next time, peace.